Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur four lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Tes Omid Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side under our Nosei heading. We have an indication here that this Nosei, this topic, lasts until Daf Chof Omid Aleph. And we've written, HaGemara Mevi'a Mokor Mimaseches Edias. The Gemara will open up with a source from the Mishnayos in Maseches Edias, Be'inyonei Sofek Tuma, regarding the topic of doubt that arises concerning defilement. Umazbira Oisa Ba'amudim Haboim. This source will be the subject of the Gemara's discussion in the next coming Amudim of Gemara. So we now turn to the Gemara itself, Tanan Hasam. It says in Maseches Edias, and the source itself is a bit vague when you first look at it. But it says, Al Machad Shenimtzeis Bebosar, regarding a needle found in meat. A person slaughters an animal and notices there's a needle in the animal's meat, this flesh. Shehasakin v'hayodayim toros v'habosur tomei. If there's doubt as to whether there was any contact between this needle and these other elements, the knife or one's hands, they will remain tohor. V'habosur tomei, the meat in which the needle is lodged, will be tomei. As we said, the Gemara will explain what the issue is concerning this needle, what kind of doubt there is concerning its tuma, and as a result of the sofek tuma concerning the needle, what effect it has on these elements, the sakin, the yodayim, and the bosar. Nimseis beperish, if the needle is found in the animal's waist, hakol tohor, everything remains tohor. Omar Rabbi Akiva, zochinu shein tumas yodayim b'mikdash. That even though there is a rabbinic ruling that hands are considered tomei, that rabbinic ruling that hands are considered tomei does not apply to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi, at the end of the page, you have the Dibur Masel Zochinu, so he says, Zchus. And then Rashi continues at the top of Amid Beis, Zchus v'toivo v'revach v'takonahi. It's basically beneficial for us, takonahi lanu may hefsid kochim, so as to avoid the loss or the wasting, the loss of sacrificial matters. Shelo nigzro gzeras yodayim b'mikdosh. The rabbis did not impose their automatic tuma that applies to hands with regard to the Beis HaMikdash. Litomei bedovar she'ein metame odam. The halacha of hands becoming tomei is, in general, they can become tomei even from things that ordinarily are not metame a person. But as far as hands are concerned, the hands do become tomei. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, that won't be the case. The high machat mukmi lay, the Gemara will establish the case of the needle, the lav bar tmuya odamu, it's not something capable of being metama a person, the ilu chutzal mikdosh metama yadayim, but tuma koldehu. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, any minor type of tuma will metama hands. Afilu stamon, even hands that we don't know to have come into contact with tuma, mishum yadayim maskos, because hands are known to handle lots of different things, and in the course of one's hand movements in general, he might have touched something that is mitama and is unaware. That's Yodayim Asconius. So Rabbi Akiva tells us that in the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbinic Tuma imposition is not binding, is not relevant. We continue in the Gemara at the top of Amud Beis. V'neimo she'ein tumas yodayim v'kelim b'amikdash. In this source, we were taught that the knife remains tohor. Why then does Rabbi Akiva not say at the end of the source, Zochinu she'ein tumas yodayim v'kelim? Notice we dashed underline kelim. That's a reference to the knife. Why is that not taught? Let us glance at the Rashi, at the fourth line from the top, V'neimo nami. Let Rabbi Akiva also say, Zochinu she'ein tumas kein v'mikdosh midrabonan bedavar she'ein metame min haTorah. Why not say that if you have a vessel that encountered something that ordinarily would not impose tumah on it from the Torah standpoint, so in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no tumah from a rabbinic standpoint. The ilu b'chulin, if you are dealing with common matters, gozu rabbonon bei tumah, the rabbonon would impose tumah of the afal gavnu d'raisa tor, even though from the Torah standpoint, you're dealing with something that's tor, k'disnan gabi yudches dovar, as it says in Masechet Shabbos in the first parak, the 18 gzeros that were made. And it says in that list of 18 gzeros, 18 rabbinic rulings, it says, "Va'ichlim va'kelim shenitmu b'mashkin," food and vessels that became tomei through contact with mashkin, with liquids that are tomei. Ordinarily, liquids that are tomei from a Torah standpoint are not metame; they do not defile vessels. However, midrabbonon, from a rabbinic standpoint, tomei mashkin, tomei liquids, will metame vessels. V'chokotoni sakin tor. And here, the source mentioned that the knife that came into a possible contact with the needle, the sakin remains tohor. The Gemara answers, Omar of Yehuda Marav, and this is, you'll note, this is answer number one. So Rav Yehuda, quoting Rav Itema, Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina, another version by way of names is Rav Yossi teaches, Yodayim, the reason Yodayim was featured, Yodayim, Koidem Gzeras Kalim Nishnu. Before we can go on in the Gemara, we glance at Rashi for an explanation of this. Yodayim, Rashi says, Koidem Gzeras Kalim Nishnu Litomei, the din regarding hands was taught before the Gezerah, historically, was taught before the rabbinic Gezerah concerning vessels and their becoming Tomei Midrabonon. Uksheidu Eidazu Adayin Lo Nigzura Gezerah Sachomim Al Tumas Kelim Durabonon. When this Eidus, when this testimony was stated, it was at a point in time where before the Rabbonon imposed a rabbinic tumah on vessels, lefikach. As a result of that, the vessels then have a status of tahara. So lo yuchal lomar, the statement would have been inappropriate, the statement zochinu shein tumas kelim b'mikdash. This statement that says, well, we merited that there's no rabbinic tumah of kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. At that point in time, afilu ba'al manami lo avoy. Even outside the Beis HaMikdash, there was no tumas kelim. Therefore, since you're dealing with this early point in time, the only thing that is worthy of emphasis is the tumas yodayim was not imposed in the Beis HaMikdash. But as far as Tumas Kalim, not only was it not binding in the Beis HaMikdash, but even outside the Beis HaMikdash, at that point in time, there was no rabbinic Tumah imposed upon vessels. The Gemara continues. Omar Rava asks, how can you make a separation in historical progress between hands and vessels. The idea of hands and vessels becoming tome as a result of contact with tumah that ordinarily would not mitame these things midoraisa, but midorabona. They're mitame this gezeira of imposing tumah, we'll call tumah derabonan, on hands and vessels was imposed, was invented the same day. Disnan hasefer v'hayodayim v'hatvulyom v'oichlin v'hakelim shenitmeu b'mashkin. Rashi gives background to each one of the elements in this particular source, but in the context of our Gemara markings presentation, we just want to emphasize that which is directly relevant to our discussion. The dashed underlining highlights Yodayim and Kalim. They were gezeira, the rabbinic imposition of tumah on these elements. The hands and vessels were imposed. The rabbinic ruling was made on the same day. So, therefore, the explanation that we gave in explanation 1 doesn't seem to be accurate. Elo Omar Rava. Here we come to explanation number 2. Why is it that if the source is telling us that the knife remains tor, even though it came into suffic contact with the needle, the knife remains tor, why was that not taught by Rabbi Akiva as well? So, Elo Omar Rava, Hanoch Letumas Sakin, leave aside the Sakin, leave it out of our discussion. Dafilu Bechulin Nami Lo Mitame. Even in mundane matters, the Sakin would not become Tome. And Rabbi Akiva was focusing on something that's unique to the Beis Hamikdash. As he said, Ba Mikdash, at the end of the source at the bottom of Omer Aleph. So the issue of the Sakin and its resistance to the Tumah Derabbanan is not something that's unique to the Beis Hamikdash. And now the Gemara explains. We should point out, marking-wise, a bow-tie shape is used, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, Hezber, this bow-tie will highlight the Hezber, the explanation, Hezber ha-protim shel ha-mokr b'soif omen aleph. The Gemara will elaborate on the different elements mentioned in the source on at the bottom of omen aleph. Number 1, ha-sakin, the knife. Number 2, ha-machad. Number 3, Habosar. We indicate that's on Chof Amid Aleph. You'll see there another Botai and Perish, the waist. So the Gemara explains about, now it talks about the Sakin, and Rava just got finished saying the Sakin would not become Tomei even in the realm of Chulin, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Also take note of the fact that this explanation lasts a couple of lines. This is explanation number 2. So the Hezber is Hai Sakin Denoga Bemai. This knife, what could it have come into contact with that you would have thought that it should become Tome, and we're telling you that it's not. What did it come into contact with? Ilema Denoga Babosar. If the Sakin in the source is a knife that came into contact with the meat, food is incapable of communicating tumah to vessels. Viela denaga b'machat. Do you want to say that the sakin should be declared tumah because it came into contact with the needle? V'ha ein kli metamek kli. Vessels do not transmit tumah to other vessels. Therefore, we understand why the sakin is remains completely tahor even in the realm of Chulin, and therefore it was not necessary for Rabbi Akiva to feature that in his remark, which was a remark emphasizing the unique leniency or feature accorded to the Beis HaMikdash. We continue. Hai machat mai avidite. In the source, we learned, and we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating to look back at Amud Aleph, And you'll see there it's pointing to the word habosar in the third line from the bottom of Omer Aleph. The Gemara says, "Hi machat my avidite." What's the nature of the machat that it was able to metama the bosar? It was metama the meat. Inemo sofek machat. If you'll say that there's a sofek concerning the tahara of the needle, maybe the needle is tomei, and as a result of my not knowing about the needle's tuma status, so we're metama the bosar. We skip these brackets for a moment. One of these two authorities say that they did not impose tuma as a result of contact with a sofek involving vessels in Yerushalayim. The brackets that we skipped contain a piece of information that's not directly relevant to our current discussion, but it will be discussed later on. The issue that we want to focus on is the machat was able to metama the bosar. But how can that be? They didn't impose a gzerah on vessels in Yerushalayim. That's lo gozru al sofek hakelim. They didn't impose a gzerah of tumah on vessels when there is an element of doubt. Within the brackets, there's another comment. V'chal Omar, one of the two rabbis here, we have Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, Chal Omar lo gozru al sofek horokin shibushalayim. Rok is saliva, and if saliva comes from someone that we know to be tamei, then his saliva also is a source of tuma. However, if there is an element of doubt whether the roik, the saliva, came from someone who is tamei or not, so this teaching in the bracket says lo gozru al sofek horokin shibushalayim. When it comes to Jerusalem, so there is no imposition of tuma on the rok that we don't know from where it came. So the question that we have to deal with right now is, the source said that the bosar is tamei in the case of a needle found in the meat. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Kigon she'ovad she'ovdo loy macha tamei meis v'kira b'bosar. Here we're dealing with a person that had a needle that had had upon it tumas mace, and he lost the needle and then found it and recognized it in the meat. If that's the case, so there's no element of suffix. He recognized this needle to be the needle that had upon it tumas mace, and that's why the bosser is declared to be tamei. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Ovin, Omar, his approach says that really we are talking about a sofek machat. He says, Kigon shehoisa pora chasuma uboa michutz liyushalayim. We're dealing with an animal that came from outside Yerushalayim, and during its journey to Yerushalayim it was muzzled. So there's no doubt here that the knife came from within Yerushalayim. The animal was muzzled and couldn't have eaten anything, including the needle that was subsequently found in its flesh. So we don't know the status of the needle. However, it's not from within Yerushalayim. Therefore, the meat is tamei because there is a gzerah concerning a sofek kalim when you're outside Yerushalayim. As you can see, we have a bracketed section. There is a topic heading that introduces the brackets. On the side, no say, basograyim, lo gozru al sofek rok, and number two, sofek kelim b'yushalayim. There is no rabbinic imposition of tumah under the conditions of doubt regarding saliva or vessels. That's of course within Yerushalayim. There is, as we said, there's a bracketed section, and we have a bracket notation where you see the double star in the margin, and we've noted Achrei HaSugrayim HaGemara Choyzeres L'shol Al Tshuvaso Shel Rav. We saw in our Gemara two answers, two explanations regarding the machat and its ability to metama the meat, and we asked how is it so when we were taught that they didn't make a gzera on Suffolk Kalim in Yerushalayim. So Rav gave the first answer, and it was a case of it wasn't a matter of Suffolk, but rather he knew that this was a machat that had been Tomei Mace, and he had lost it and found it in the meat. So right after the bracketed section, the Gemara will be asking on that. Within the Sograyim, the note continues to say, Besocha Sograyim HaGemara mityacheses alma shemuzkar li'el shelo gozru al sofei kelim v'roikim. Within the brackets, the Gemara will be referring back to that which was stated earlier in the question after the bow tie that had contained machat in it. There were two comments that were made. One was in brackets and the other followed the brackets regarding the non-imposition of gzeros tuma on sofek kalim or sofek rokim. So now that the structure of the Gemara hopefully is spelled out, namely that after the brackets, the Gemara will be referring back to Rav's comment, we can now go through the Gemara straight through, starting with the brackets. Gufa, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, Chad Omar, Lo Gozru, Al Sofek HaRoikim Rishalayim. We have these two rabbis, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, one saying that they did not impose Tuma when encountering Rok, whose origin was not clear. Rok, as we mentioned earlier, from a Tomei person, like a Zav or a Nida, would be considered an Av HaTuma, primary level of Tuma, which is capable of metama a person, but if there's an element of doubt, I don't know where the roke comes from. So in Yerushalayim, no tuma was imposed. V'chad omar lo gozu al sofek hakelim shibirshalayim. And another opinion says that they did not impose any tuma in the case of sofek concerning vessels in Yerushalayim. The Gemara now asks a question. The question lasts a couple of lines. Of what purpose was there in these Amoroyim teaching their points when the information is found in earlier Tanaic sources? The Gemara asks, Roikin Tanina, Kalim Tanina, Roikin Tanina. The Gemara points out this source regarding the saliva. Disnan kola roikin and some Yerushalayim. Any found saliva in Yerushalayim tahorin. Chutz Michel Shukelion, with the exception of the upper level marketplace. This was a place where people who were tomei would congregate, but outside of that area, roke, saliva that's found in other places Yerushalayim, was tahor. So what did I need the Amoraic reference to this point for when this Tanaic source, which is an earlier source, already conveys that information? The Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, the Tanaic teaching goes so far as to say, Afal Gav the Ischazik Zav, which means, even if I saw a Zav going by the area in which I found the Roke, so the Moroyim tell me, even so, there is no rabbinic gzera imposed on the roke that I found. Kalim Tanina Disnan, regarding vessels, we have a Tanaic source that says, Kol HaKelim and Hanser Mishalayim, all vessels found in Mishalayim, Derech Yerida Lebeis HaTvila Tamein. If you find them on a path leading to a Beis HaTvila, a mikveh, so if you find a vessel there, there were two pathways concerning a mikveh. One path leading into the mikveh, and another path leading away from the mikveh. So people who were tamei or had things that needed immersion would go on the path going, what's called the downward path leading to the mikveh, or the stairs, and there was a staircase going down, and when people finished in the mikveh, it was a separate staircase leading away from the mikveh. So this source says that if you find vessels on the path leading to the mikveh, they are tamei. In other words, there's still is an element of doubt, but since they're leading it, the path that the vessels were found with leading to the mikveh, you can rest assured that those vessels are tamei. They need immersion. They need tahara. That's why they were found there. However, we can infer ha d'alma tahorin. However, if you find vessels anywhere else, they would be tahor. So this is an inference from a Tanaic source. What do I need the Amoroyim before to make reference to this? So the Gemara answers or responds. It says ulitamech. If you're asking about on the Amora from the fact that this source seems to be so explicit, or at least its inference is clear, Amos Seifa, state the Seifa, the latter part of the source, which says, Derech Aliyotom, if you find vessels on the path leading away from the mikveh, then they are Tor. And you could infer, Ha Da'alma Temein. But in general, vessels found in Yerushalayim, any other place, other than the path leading away from the mikveh, you would declare them to be tamei. So you see that the source itself, it doesn't, you know, if you compare the inferences which we dashed underline, they would seem to be contradictory. So the source itself isn't very clear if you're going to base yourself on the inference. Ela reisha davka. The Amoroyim reveal to us that the reisha, the first part of the source, is dafka. Dafka means is taught in a precise fashion. Namely, make your inference from the reisha, concluding that in general, vessels found in any other place of Yerushalayim other than the path leading to a mikveh, they are in fact tohar. So that's what the Amoroyim teach us, to emphasize the reisha and its inference. The seifa lav davka, and the seifa that says derech aliyah tahorim, the truth is, it's not only derech aliyah tahorim, but in all other places they would be tahor other than the path leading down to the mikveh. Ula afuki gaz yaisa. Let's go immediately into the Rashi, where you see a double star. Lafuke gazyaisa. What are gazyaisa? Mevuos ketanim. These are alleyways, small alleyways. Shehoyu somuch lederech yerida ve'aliyah. These alleyways were near these paths leading to and away from the mikveh. Pomim shehoyu yordim derech oisim mevuos. Sometimes people would use these alleyways to reach the mikveh. Pomim olin, and sometimes they would leave the mikveh using these alleyways. Vahano Temein Misafek. These areas, these Gaz Yaisa, vessels found there would be Tamei out of doubt. Sharei Mitchila Temein Hoyu Safek Naflu Birida Safek Balia. The vessels were originally Tamei, and the doubt is, did they fall into this alleyway on the way to the mikveh or on the way away from the mikveh? Umisfeka lo nafki mituma. And when you're in a state of doubt, so being that they were found in alleyways in the vicinity of the mikveh, we're assuming that the vessels were definitely tamei at one point, and the doubt is, being that they're found in these alleyways, were they left in this alley or fell in this alleyway before reaching the mikveh or on their way away from the mikveh? Aval shar kelim sofek nitmu sofek lo nitmu, but other vessels found in other places where there's a doubt whether they were tomei in the first place, lo gozu aleihem misofek. The rabbis didn't impose any gzeiros tumah on them simply because of a general doubt that maybe they became tomei. However, just we're now repeating ourselves. However, vessels found in these gazyaisa, being that these alleys are in the vicinity of the mikveh, we're making an assumption that we're dealing with vessels that were definitely tomei at one point, and the doubt is, did they leave their tumah status as a result of having been immersed, or they didn't yet reach the mikveh? So in a case like that, we will say they are tumah because they had a chezkas tumah to begin with. And out of a point of doubt, from a position of doubt, we cannot declare them to be tahor. So when you just review this issue concerning found vessels, generally speaking, vessels found in Yerushalayim, and you don't know whether these vessels were ever tomei or not, they are declared tohor. Vessels found on pathways leading to a mikveh are declared tomei. Vessels found in an alleyway near the mikveh, and the alleyway leads to the mikveh as well, so they will have they will be considered tomei as well. Now, you notice the arrow that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. This ties us back to Rav that appeared earlier. Rav had said that the needle that affected the meat, the needle that was featured in the source at the bottom of Omed Aleph, where we said the meat was tamei, that was a case of a needle that was tomei mace. That would be a needle that had come into contact with tumas mace, and as such, it was able to metama the meat. Now, bear in mind, in the same source, it taught that the knife and the hands remained tohor. Ula Rav, the Gemara asks, the Omar Kigon Shavdaloi Tome Machat Tome Mace, that would be a needle that came into contact that with someone that was an avatum as a result of defilement to the dead. Vehikiro Babosar, and after having lost the needle, he then recognized it in the meat. Kevon the Omar Mar, since there is a teaching that is based on the Pasuk, where it says Bahalal Cherev, that's a posuk, and from that posuk we learn cherev arehu kachalal. Cherev is a sword. Sword is associated with metal, with iron or metal. It is like the halal. In other words, when it comes to metal articles and their contact with the realm of tumas mace, instead of a descending level of tumah, which is characteristic of most tumos, metal in the context of tumas mace, there is a parallel movement of tumah. In other words, if the metal came into contact with someone who had touched a corpse, so just like the person that touched the corpse or was in the same room as a corpse, he becomes an av hatumah, the metal will also become an av hatumah. And as such, an ava tumah does communicate tumah not only to food items, but to people and vessels as well. Therefore, odom v'kelim nami letame. The person and the vessels also should become tameh. And yet the source said that only the meat is tameh, but the person, says his hands, that's a reference certainly to the hands remain tomei, to remain tohor, and the knife remains tohor. But that should not be the case. After all, you're dealing with metal that has a status of av hatumah. That should communicate tumah to the person and to the knife, the vessels. Omar Rav Ashi. Zosamera. So Rav Ashi explains that even though this teaching is quite true, b'halal cherev, and we say that cherev arei k'halal, why in the source does the meat remain tohor? Does the sakin remain tohor? Zosemeres Azora Rishus Harabim Hi. The Azora, the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, has the status of a public area. V'havi Le Sofek Tuma B'Rishus Harabim. And the case then reflects a situation of doubtful Tuma in a Rishus Harabim. Now, the doubt here is not concerning the needle itself. The needle is tummy, but there's doubt whether the person touched it or the knife came into contact with it. The chol sofek tuma b'rishus harabim sveiko tohor. When you have an issue of doubt concerning tuma in a public area, we learn from Parshas Soita that when you're in a public area, so we do not impose tuma. Question. This question lasts a couple of lines. Ha birshus hayochid sveiko tomehu. If, however, we were in a private domain, would you, yes, impose tuma? Michti. And Rashi brings a daya that the next two words one would not read. So if we skip the words based on this suggested girsin Rashi, Michti, dovar she'ein bo das lisholhu. The knife, which is the issue at hand right now. And the at hand is a pun, if you will, because that's also an issue. But the knife is a dovar she'ein bo das lishol, means it's something, it's inanimate. It's not like a human being. We mentioned a moment before that these dinim of Sofik Tumr Bishus Rabim and also Sofik Tumr Bishus Yochad are learned from the Parsha of Sota. In the case of Sota, you're dealing with a human being, and the Sofik, the doubt whether the woman in that case behaved immorally. And she did, the incident arises in a private domain. So that the rules of Sofik Tuma are derived from that Parsha, from that topic, and since that topic involves a woman and a paramour, you're dealing with the woman is someone you can ask. It's that's called yesh bo das lishol. It's someone you can ask what they did. But if you are dealing with a scenario that doesn't parallel the case of sota, namely an inanimate object, so even in a rishus hayochid, there would be tahara. So what's inferred by the Rav Ashi's answer, the inference is that the only reason the Sakin is Tahar is because the Sufik arises in the Azora, which is a public area, leaving us room to infer that had the Sufik arisen, had the doubt arisen in a private area, there would be Tuma. But that's not true, based on this halacha of Dover Shem Badas Lishol, which says v'chol dover shem b'das lishol bein rishus ram bein rishus hayochid sveiko tor. Notice how we dashed underline rishus hayochid tor. So Rav Ashi's answer is the inference from Rav Ashi's answer is being called into question. The Gemara answers, and this answer takes a couple of lines. You'll see it takes you to the second line from the top of Chof Amud Aleph. Mishum Dehave Sofek Tumo Habo Bidei Adam. The reason that if you were in a Rishus HaYochid, there would have been Tuma is because of a new concept. Sofek Tumo Habo Bidei Adam. We'll go over this concept in a minute. Just let's finish the reading. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan Sofek Tumo Habo Bidei Adam Nish'olin Oleha. Afilu bekli hamunoch agabi karka kedover shiesh bodas lishol. We just read the first two lines of Chofam and Aleph. Now let's go over these ideas. We glance at the Rashi. The Rashi we're going to look at is at the bottom line. So habo bidei adam, adam hoya osuk bo. In our case, we're dealing with someone cutting meat, and he finds a needle in the meat, and he doesn't know whether the knife touched that needle. And Rav had set up the case of the needle was tomei mace. V'im noga bo hasakin b'machat. If the knife had come into contact with the needle, al yidei odom nogabo. The contact would have been because of a person manipulating the knife. Hilkoch im azora rishus hayochet sveiko tome. Had the azora been declared a private domain, so you would have had a case of sofek tumo habobi de odom. That makes it like the person itself. Since the knife is being manipulated by the person, so it comes under the category of davar sheyesh bo das lishol. And only because the azora is classified as a rishus harabim can we say that the knife remains tohor. The Gemara at the top of Chof Amar Aleph added, afilu bekli hamuno chagabi karka. Rashi says, afilu u kli muno chagabi karka, on the fourth line from the top, Rashi says, klomar falgav de kli tohor ze, shenolad bo hasofek, ein bo das lishol. Even though the vessel itself, concerning which the element of doubt arose, and the vessel itself is something that's inanimate, you can't ask it questions. Uboy lo hoya odom oisek shemolicho muvio biodo, and the vessel in question was not itself actually handled by a person. He wasn't slicing with it. He wasn't moving it back and forth. Aval odom osuk betumo shoya no se sheretz biodo. However, a person had, let's say, been carrying a sheretz, sofek noga bekli sofek lo noga, and the doubt is, did the sheretz that was being carried by the person come into contact with the vessel lying on the floor? Im rishus hayochidu sveiko tomei, if you're dealing with a scenario of a private domain, that would lead to a case of Tuma, because of the rule of sofek tuma b'rishus hayochid, a doubt concerning tuma in a private domain results in the declaration of tuma. So in the last section of Gemara, we were dealing with Rav's explanation as to why the meat became tuma through the machat, through the needle. Rav had said we're dealing with a machat that was tomei meis. It wasn't an issue of any doubt, but it was because if it was an issue of doubt, so we already saw that there was no gzera of sofek tuma imposed on vessels in Yerushalayim. So rather, it's a definite tomei meis machat, and that being the case, so then why is the meat is tomei and the people and vessels are not tummy, as the source had indicated, the sakin is tohor, because, and as the Gemara explained, Ravashi explained that the case took place in the Azora, the source was featuring meat in the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Azora is a Rishus HaRabim, and the rule of Sofek Tumah Rishus HaRabim kicks in over here, thereby enabling the sakin, because we don't know if the sakin actually touched the needle, so the sakin remains tohar. As you can see in the markings, and we mentioned this earlier, the rest of this daf will be dedicated to explaining other points in the source that we saw at the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Aleph. But in the context of our daf Yomi Shiurim, so this will be a place that we can stop, and Mirz Hashem continue with the Gemara and the explanation of that source next time. But before we officially sign off, just let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.